Welcome back, 12s, to the Seahawkers podcast. I'm Brandon Schultz, my co-host here, Adam Emmert. And our guest tonight had 364 tackles in his six seasons at linebacker with the Seattle Seahawks. He was drafted in the second round of the 1987 draft out of Stanford. He's now the co-host of Wyman, Mike, and More on 710 ESPN Seattle. And his personal nemesis while he was playing was Steve Wisniewski. We welcome Dave Wyman to the show. How are you doing, Dave?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Doing great. One thing I wanted to ask you, after this San Francisco loss, there's been a lot of people that have been saying that it's a good loss. In your experience as a player, was there ever a case where you suffered what you consider to be a good loss?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think we all say that in the media and being on the outside because it makes us feel better, but that certainly doesn't make you feel any better as a player or a coach. And you know, you want to win and you want to succeed every day and every snap and even during the week. So, you know, when you're practicing. So, no, not much solace out of that. But, you know, I think that the key is having something good come out of it. And so that's what I think a lot of people are sort of holding on to there. And, you know, who knows, maybe in the end it will help somewhat, because the thing is when you have things that go wrong, they sort of tend to get glossed over if you win. You know, I remember going into film where if I made a couple of mistakes and we won, you know, you don't get yelled at as hard. So it's not emphasized as much. So hopefully they can turn this into something positive.
So I think one of the big things coming out of this game was penalties, and that's what people point to a lot. And I get the sense that Coach Carroll isn't really that concerned when it comes to penalties. I get that sense that he wants the guys to play aggressive. Is it fair to say that?
Yeah, I think so. Every coach emphasizes that. And, you know, there's some of those that you looked at the other day that were pretty egregious, I guess you could say, that were a little bit over the top. But it is almost like at the cost of doing business if you are a physical team. Now, the stupid ones, you know, and I know Pete Carroll gets very upset about, you know, guys going downfield, like the kind of stuff that Bruno Giacomini used to get, which he doesn't do anymore, you know, after the penalty or after the play, kind of a unsportsmanlike conduct type of thing. But as far as the holding, you know, that stuff goes on defense, you know, a lot of it is just guys being aggressive. So I always break it down to dumb penalties versus aggressive penalties. And really holding on both sides of the ball is kind of more of an aggressive penalty. Pass interference is an aggressive penalty. But when you have, you know, dumb ones where you're jumping off sides and things like that, those are the ones you want to clean up. So it's weird. You know, I don't even know how you practice it. I was thinking back at the penalties that I got when I was playing, you know, like a face mask here and there. I mean, things happen so fast. It's not like you intentionally do it. So I don't even know how you practice for something like that. But, you know, they're just going to have to be aware, especially in the defensive backfield, that other teams are going to complain. And I know Harbaugh did a good job of working the officials before that last game. So they have to be aware of that.
Yeah, big time. Now, Dave, another big storyline that came out of this game was the injury to KJ Wright out, you know, they're saying about 6 weeks here with the broken foot. How do you see that affecting the linebacking core with Malcolm Smith jumping in here at this point?
Well, the good news is Malcolm is one of those guys that I think has been sorely missed out on the field just because he's one of the better linebackers. You know, he's really surprised me this year. He stepped up and, you know, I don't think you take too much of a step down. It's not too devastating to lose KJ, although coming off that game against New Orleans, KJ was the hero in that game. I mean, he covered the tight ends, knocked down some passes downfield. He really did a good job and in a game where they were pretty concerned about matchup problems. So it's definitely a loss to lose that guy, just kind of like when you go and lose Brandon Browner. And then Walter Thurman steps in, you know, there's not too much of a drop-off there. So, but just, you know, the lack of depth, that hurts. And then, you know, KJ, I know, is playing on some of the special teams. So, yeah, it always hurts. But, man, the Seahawks have been very fortunate this year and that they've gotten the injuries have come in positions where they have a lot of depth.
I think that's one of the things that's kind of amazed me the most about the team this year, and that's their ability to have a player on the bench who can come in and seems to be better than most team starting players. Which one of these backups have you been most impressed by?
Yeah, you know, I would say probably Malcolm. Malcolm Smith is the most impressive. He's the guy that, although it's a pretty good list, like you said, I mean, you got, when Walter Thurman stepped in for Browner, I think Byron Maxwell and Jeremy Lane are both really good players.
Right.
And then, some of these young guys on the offensive line, like Michael Bowie, have stepped in and been really good. Lem Jean-Pierre, the center. But I got to go with Malcolm Smith just because he's really surprised me. He's a smaller guy, at 6 foot, 225, 230, really fast. But the thing that impresses me so much is he's really good at taking on blocks, diagnosing blocking schemes, and the way he plays the run is really, really good. So, and then he's got all the speed to do coverage and things like that. So that's the thing I think about him. He's been the biggest surprise.
So at what point do you think the injuries could have, they could start to hurt the team? Or have we seen evidence of that by not having guys like Sidney Rice or Percy Harvin in this game against the Niners?
I don't think we've really seen it manifest itself into a problem yet. I mean, when Sidney Rice went down, Doug Baldwin and Golden Tate stepped up their games and Jermaine Kearse. So it hasn't really been missing that much. And, same thing in all the other positions. It'll start to hurt a little bit if they, I would think running back and quarterback, especially those two positions, Marshawn Lynch and Russell Wilson, if you were to lose either of those two guys, then it would really, you'd really notice a drop off there. But, at the other positions, they've been pretty good at being able to handle it. So almost at every other position, I think they're doing okay except for those two.
Well, speaking of the offense a little bit, Dave, we saw in this 49ers game, the offense crank it up a little bit in the second quarter and start to get it going. Yet in the second half, it was kind of disappointing. We really didn't do a whole heck of a lot, just coming up with the field goal after having that big punt return there. Was it something? Was it just an execution thing, or was this something that had to do with adjustments the 49ers made?
Well, I think the 49ers did a really good job. That's the one thing you have to take away from this, and that's why I guess I wasn't overly upset about the fact that they lost that game, because their defense is so good. Those two linebackers they have on the inside, Patrick Willis and Navarro Bowman, I thought Bowman actually affected the game, and from the standpoint that I think once Russell took that first hit from Bowman, where he came out of nowhere and hit Russell Wilson, and the ball gets fumbled out of his hands, out of bounds. I think once that happened, they might have said, "Hey, we don't want you running around too much," because you saw that Russell didn't run the ball downfield on any of those scrambles. He didn't keep in the read option play, not once. And so, I think that might have affected them a little bit, but. Yeah, I think you said it. It's execution. It comes down to, and we talked to Doug Baldwin about this today too. He said it comes down to the fact that it wasn't so much them as it was us. We just didn't execute the way that we typically do.
Well, they're going to have a chance to turn that around this weekend, going over to New York and playing the Giants, who they really haven't been playing too great this year. Most of their wins have come against teams with that have kind of mediocre quarterbacks. What do you see from the Seahawks coming into this game?
Well, I think they should take care of business. I mean, it's definitely would be a good sign for them. Like I said, I didn't see any warts exposed from this last loss, but this is the type of team that they should take care of, just because, like you said, New York has just been a disappointment this year. They've had a lot of injuries on defense. They're not playing well. Eli has thrown four more interceptions than touchdowns. I mean, it's a team that doesn't really matter. I think this team has shown that they can win on the road in that early time slot, so that shouldn't be a problem. That's what I fully expect from this team. I think they've gotten through their rough patch of kind of letting teams that shouldn't be in there in the game, like Tampa Bay. They spotted them 21 points early on. Same thing with the St. Louis Rams. That was a little bit too close. So I think they're past that, and they've sort of passed all the tests. So fully expect them to go out there and take care of business.
Well, before you go, Dave, there's one other thing I wanted to ask you, and that's about the you were on the team with that 92 defense when Cortez Kennedy won the Defensive Player of the Year, and it was one of the best defensive efforts in team history. But you guys went 2-14 that season. What was that like?
Oh man, you know, I really, when I look back on it, I really had a lot of fun playing on that defense. Believe it or not, I mean, we really felt like coming into every game that nobody wanted to play us, and that was true. Most opposing offenses did not want to face our defense, but it was frustrating because we could have been, I think we were the number 10 defense that year. I think we could have easily been number one if we'd have had some support from our offense. Good examples, we played the Raiders and held them to about 180 yards of offense. And that's with Willie Gault and Bo Jackson and all those guys. And we ended up losing the game 23-3 because our offense kept turning over the ball and our territory, and so yeah, it was just that part of it was frustrating, but playing with Cortez was amazing. Playing behind him, if I could have played behind him my whole career, boy, I would have had a lot better career. Yeah, it was really fun though. We just kind of had that feeling like it's us against the world and nobody thinks we can do it, and it was just a good opportunity to go out there and just beat up on people and surprise people and let everybody know that we were for real on the defensive side of the ball.
Well, that was one of the things that got me wondering, is that did it really create a lot of tension between the guys on defense and the guys on offense, or was it just kind of you go out there and you do your job and they do theirs, and that's, you kind of see where it comes out at the end?
Yeah, you know, that's the thing about the NFL, and I say this quite often on our show, that, you know, when they talk about, like, distractions or what about these things that are going on in the locker room? You spend so much time as a pro kind of worrying about your own career and your own tail. You know, it's like, I always say when I was a starter for 8 of my 9 years, there was never a time where I didn't think I could be replaced. So every game, and especially on a 2-14 team, you want to show everybody you're playing your hardest because everything you do goes on tape and it goes around the league. So it's more of a pride thing. And then, you know, some of that stuff that a lot of people would think would be a distraction really isn't. You know, you do your job, and as long as the guys next to you that are playing on the field at the same time are doing their job, then you're perfectly fine. And I guess, you know, it doesn't really resonate that much with the other side of the ball if one side's struggling, as long as you're doing your job.
Well, that's good to hear, Dave. Hopefully Brandon doesn't have any animosity towards me for carrying me on this podcast week after week. So
that's not the case at all.
Okay, good deal.
All right, Dave. Well, I wanted to thank you for coming on the show. Really thank Tracy Williams, our military Seahawkers president, for helping set this up, and let folks know that, if they want to catch your show, I know it's available on iTunes, 710 ESPN, Wyman, Mike, and Moore Show.
Hey, Brandon, Adam, great talking to you guys, and to all of our military personnel out there, I want to thank you for all you do, and go Hawks.
All right, go Hawks.